Chapter 22. The cathedral in Pietermaritzburg stands on Church Street. Grey stone, with a bell tower and iron railings between the street and the lawns. Pigeons strut puff chest on the grass. Anna and Garrick went up the paved path and into the semi-dark of the cathedral. The stained glass window had the sun behind it, making the interior glow weirdly with colour. Because they were both nervous, they held hands as they stood in the aisle.
"There's no one here," whispered Garrick. "There must be," Anna whispered back. "Try through that door there."
"What shall I say?"
"Just tell him we want to get married."
Garrick hesitated.
"Go on,"
Anna still whispered, pushing him gently towards the door of the vestry.
"You come with me," said Garrick. "I don't know what to say."
The priest was a thin man with steel-rimmed spectacles. He looked over the top of them at the nervous pair in the doorway and shut the book on the desk in front of him.
"We want to get married," Garrick said, and blushed crimson.
"Well," said the priest dryly, "you have the right address. Come in." He was surprised at their haste, and they argued a little. Then he sent Garrick down to the magistrate's court for a special license. He married them, but the ceremony was hollow and unreal. The drone of the priest's voice was almost lost in the immense cavern of the cathedral as they stood small and awed before him. Two old ladies who came in to pray stayed on gleefully to witness for them, and afterwards they both kissed Anna, and the priest shook Garrick's hand. Then they went out again into the sunlight. The pigeons still strutted on the lawn, and a mule wagon rattled down Church Street, with the coloured driver singing and cracking his whip. It was as though nothing had happened.
"We're married," said Garrick, doubtfully.
"Yes," agreed Anna, but she sounded as though she didn't believe it either. They walked back to the hotel side by side. They didn't talk or touch each other. Their luggage had been taken up to their room, and the horses had been stabled. Garrick signed the register, and the clerk grinned at him.
"I put you in number 12, sir. It's our honeymoon suite."
One of his eyelids drooped slightly, and Garrick stammered in confusion. After dinner, an excellent dinner, Anna went up to the room, and Garrick sat on in the lounge, drinking coffee. It was almost an hour later that he mustered the courage to follow her. He crossed the drawing room of their suite, hesitated at the bedroom door, then went in. Anna was in bed. She had pulled the bedclothes up to her chin, and she looked at him with her inscrutable cat's eyes.
"I've put your nightshirt in the bathroom, on the table," she said.
"Thank you," said Garrick.
He stumbled against a chair as he crossed the room. He closed the door behind him, undressed quickly, and leaning naked over the basin, splashed water onto his face. Then he dried and pulled the nightshirt over his head. He went back into the bedroom. Anna lay with her face turned away from him. Her hair was loose on the pillow, shining in the lamplight. Garrick sat on the edge of the chair. He lifted the hem of his nightshirt above his knee and unfastened the straps of his leg, laid the peg carefully beside the chair, and massaged the stump with both hands. It felt stiff. He heard the bed creak softly, and he looked up. Anna was watching him, staring at his leg. Hurriedly, Garrick pulled down his nightshirt to cover the protruding, slightly enlarged end with its folded line of scar tissue. He stood up, balancing, then hopped one-legged across to the bed. He was blushing again. He lifted the edge of the blankets and slipped into the bed, and Anna jerked violently away from him.
"Don't touch me," she said hoarsely.
"Anna, please don't be scared.
I'm pregnant. You mustn't touch me."
"I won't. I swear I won't." She was breathing hard, making no attempt to hide her revulsion. "Do you want me to sleep in the drawing room, Anna?"
"I will if you say so."
"Yes," she said.
"I want you to."
He gathered his dressing gown from the chair and, stooping, picked up his leg. He hopped to the door and turned back to face her. She was watching him still.
"I'm sorry, Anna. I didn't mean to frighten you."
She didn't answer him, and he went on.
"I love you. I swear I love you more than anything in the world. I wouldn't hurt you, you know that, don't you? You know I wouldn't hurt you."
Still she did not answer, and he made a small gesture of appeal, the wooden leg clutched in his hand, and the tears starting to fill his eyes.
"Anna, I'd kill myself rather than frighten you."
He went quickly through the door and closed it behind him. Anna scrambled out of bed, and with her nightdress flurrying around her legs, she ran across the room to the door and turned the key in the lock.